Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, here with Pat Schlarbaum. Congratulations yesterday to all the folks who had an event here for KHOI. We had radio days, old-time radio, and it was lots of fun to hear some old-time radio drama. I guess that's what they called it. A little bit about the weather. It is going to be about 82 today and only go down to 60 tonight. So spring is finally here. And Wednesday and Thursdays, there should be pretty big chance of showers and thunderstorms, which is good news for my garden and all the little seeds that are in the ground. And Friday and Saturday and probably Sunday, it'll be sunny with the temperatures in the 70s and 60s. So that's also good news for the garden. So we are now officially into spring. Pat, you have news about the Decorah Eagles. Let's cover that just for a minute.
Sure.
Give us an idea of what's going on in Decorah with the Eagles.
Well, life has moved on. The male has disappeared 13 days ago. And in his absence, there has been a second male sighted. There was quite a bit of concern and quite a bit of searching for the male bald eagle. Now, this is the
there
bird.
There was fears that he had hit a power line or something like that.
Yeah, or possibly was hit on the road. Or, quite frankly, they had, they're in their 11th year at the site there at the fish hatchery. Now, that male had attracted, that we know of, two other females.
So he was an old guy.
He was probably in his 20s. Now, mm-hmm. It takes 5 years for bald eagles to mature, which in 2007, the female that was attracted to replace the female that was there originally. It's quite a story. That bird had only one eye, and she was nesting right along and doing fine. And Bob Anderson, who is the director of the Raptor Resource Project at the time, has a very close friend named Neil Reddig in Prairie du Chien, right across the river. And Neil and Bob were planning to set the camera at the nest site. And they created a program called American Eagle that was on Nature, on PBS. And people can go, you can download that. And it's quite a story that the female at the time was sightless in one of her eyes, and they found her in the snow. And what a way to start, embark on the bald eagle nesting legacy. But a replacement female presented herself. Now, she was obviously just turning 5 years and mature to nest. And the first year, she had to kind of learn the ropes, so to speak. In fact, there's a dramatic scene where on a very windy day, rather than perch her head into the wind, she was kind of downwind so that the wind was coming up through her tail and a gust flipped her. There was a young in the nest at the time. And there, dramatically on the camera, there's this little eaglet grabbing onto her breast and nearly was blown out of the mm-hmm. nest. And
so that, is that the eagle that is now there?
Yes.
So that's her. So
that,
now
that's
she's,
how she,
so now she's a seasoned eagle.
She would be 15.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And we were all able to view the male who had experience present to the female how to feed the young. She was taking off big bites and kind of going through the motions, but the little guys, I mean, they're just little helpless little eaglets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was most endearing, that the male in his patience, he made sure the little eaglets were fed properly.
So he's a good father.
We all learned. And, of course, everybody, you know, just really bonded to that bird. And so often in nature, we have a tendency to maybe focus on the individuals rather than look at. But that's what's happened. And Bob Anderson would point out that those eagles became their, you know, the people who were watching, it's their birds, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
I get calls from people in the nursing homes and and first graders, you know, that's how are my birds doing? And Bob was, he was so connected to that.
So speaking of people feeling ownership, do you know that if the baby eagles, there's three baby eagles now, and they have a single mother. What are there any plans about what to do if those baby eagles actually have their lives threatened?
There's always been a contingency plan that would, you know, hopefully never have to be interjected. This is nature in its finest and also in its most troubling. And I mentioned the cinematographer, Neil Reddick. Before the American Eagle, he was filming nesting eagles up in southeastern Minnesota. And there was a situation where a bigger eaglet was, like, beating up on his sibling. And we know that as sibling rivalry. And we know that so often with three young that maybe all three aren't going to make it. And Neil said it was just, he hated to, you know, he'd go to the blind and he just didn't want to see it again. Mm-hmm. And it just went on and on.
So what happens to these?
And he named that little guy Underdog, and Underdog made it. And in the end, you know, what should I do? You know, and they have the ability to go in and take those birds. But so often in it, you do that, and then the young are imprinted on people. It just, you know, it's really a tough call. So thankfully, the female, there's been an image of her coming up to the nest. Now she's leaving those eaglets when she go, you know, where the male would bring the fish. Well, now she appeared last Friday with two trout, a trout in each talon.
Wow, she's working two overtime.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, so, that's impressive.
So she, you know, things are going
she's
well.
She's capable.
There would be a contingency plan. You know, nobody wants to see the young perish.
What does that mean, a contingency plan?
Well, it, you know, to go up in the nest and help out if necessary. But I just don't see that happening.
So they won't let the babies die?
No. Well, there would be. It would be a really tough one. But it, if anything would happen, it would be while in her absence that another eagle or something, a raccoon, might try to raid the nest. And that's going to be pretty hard to see. So.
Is somebody standing by and watching?
Well, they've got the cameras.
Well, yeah, but is somebody watching?
Yeah. There are
people
there
watching.
Are a volunteer cadre that's amazing. And on Wednesday, we'll hopefully have a report from John Howe, the director that replaced Bob Anderson, and learn about how this is all unfolding now, in that we're in the 13th day.
And you mentioned there may be a memorial ceremony?
On Wednesday, there'll be a memorial kind of conducted through the internet. People can, but there'll be some special programming at that time. The male, the people call it Decora Dad, is not just going to be written off. There'll be, I mean, it's a pretty major part of the story of the Decora Eagles in Iowa.
So he's officially kind of considered gone now.
Well, at this stage, it would just be beyond the rest of the story if he would reappear.
Do you know the details of when one can see the memorial or be part of the memorial?
Well, it start first thing in the morning on Wednesday morning, and people can go to the chat, and that's the RaptorResourceProject.org. I'm sure the people that I've mentioned, Neil Reddick and Dave Kester and John Howe and Amy Reese, there's a board of directors for the Raptor Resource Project that I'm sure will all weigh in with their sentiments. And it'll be an opportunity to kind of, you know, put things in order and then essentially move on.
Okay. Well, thank you. I guess... That's the news from the Decora Eagles.
Yeah, things are going well.
Things are going well.
In the absence of the,
male. And the new male who's around, he's not likely to adopt these babies?
Well, that would really be a welcome addition, of course. I don't know.
Does that happen?
It's almost like never say never in nature. There has been documentation of young eagles, meaning young of the year from the previous years, assisting with feeding young. So it's not outside the realm of possibilities, but it wouldn't be expected.
Because it's not his.
And she would have to accept that role, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, his involvement.
And, so she may protect them from him.
They have mm-hmm. been seen soaring together and perching mm-hmm. close together.
So maybe next year.
And it was ironic that he appeared the day after, the day of the disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on. And for any of the viewers, I mean, she would just put her beak straight in the air and just call, just drip, drip. And it was mm-hmm. The first few days, and it was kind of heart-rending. But that was her. That's what eagles do,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
and
she,
when they soar together, that's a form of bonding.
Yeah, it sure is. I'll tell you what. If it won't surprise anybody if they're soaring together in October. Mm-hmm. You know, after the nesting season, things kind of go into a shift of dynamics. And quite often in October, there are some nesting attitudes that they'll be carrying sticks and flying in synchrony. And it's all about the day length in October and November. The day length is comparable to February and March. So in the autumn, they hit that day length, and they'll be carrying sticks and doing things like eagles do together, but it dwindles into the winter then.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as that photo period occurs in February, they start ramping up to the point that ultimately there's mating and more eggs. And in the spring, it ramps up. In the autumn, it diminishes. But I don't think she's going to be soaring as a single,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of eagles in the Decora era, thankfully. So mm-hmm. life should go on.
Okay, so we'll find out what happens to these three babies, mm-hmm. how they do. So far they're healthy and life goes on.
Yeah, so. Very much so, very healthy.
Okay, thank you very much, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI, and thank you for being with us today. Mm-hmm. We still are in a period where we are asking you to be with us financially as well as a listener. We always say at the end of Local Talk that you're listening to the show is what makes us meaningful, and that is absolutely true. We do this show because we want you to be with us and to listen to local news and information. But twice a year we come to you and we ask you to also be meaningful in a financial sense. KHOI is reliant on the donations of its listeners. So we ask you to become a listener member. Basic listener membership is $55, and the easiest way to do it is to go to khoifm.org, khoifm.org, and there's a yellow donate button there, and it's a safe and secure way to donate. You can also call the station at 292-2878. 515-292-2878.
Or stop in person.
Stop in person. There's enough people here right now that somebody will pick up the phone or take your donation if you walk right into the door. We're a community radio station, so we're in a storefront. And
right.
You can 410
walk in, Douglas.
410 Douglas, the Old Ames Pantorium, and you can walk in. In fact, you can walk right in here into the studio and tell other folks why you have donated to KHOI and why you think that community radio is something that we should have in Central Iowa. We want to have community radio in Central Iowa, and we want you to show that you want it too, so that we can keep the noise going.
Yeah, come on into the studio. It's a great way to strengthen our community through communication. And Ursula, when we talk about the environment so often, as human, we take a lot for granted. And boy, this time of year, what a great time of year to shore up our memberships and realize that that the environment, and whether it's a radio station or Ada Hayden Park or the Ledges State Park, there's an environmental sustainability. Things need to go on and on. So I think the sustaining membership is really the point I'd really like to bring out for $250 a year. That's where it's really at, where that investment is comparable to not only strengthening the community, but also providing a financial footing that this station can build upon. It's so important to have sustainability. You know, everybody, we understand our short-term challenges, but we need to look at this through the long lens of time.
And I think Pat is somebody who puts his money where his mouth is. He says it. He contributes to the station with all of his information, but he is also a financial sustainer.
Hey, yeah, let's figure out. I need to figure out how to get in the credit card system where it's done automatically. You know, I need to learn that.
You can do direct deposit. Yeah,
yeah, and that's what a great way to go. Then, you know, and then if you're having a good month, why not consider, you know, writing a check rather than I wrote the check this morning, but let's just
thank
kinda,
you.
Yeah, let's just kind of realize that, it's all about sustainability. $250 sounds like may sound like a lot, but in some regards, $20 a month, you know, and a little extra change. So,
okay, so again, that's khoyfm.org, khoyfm.org. And thank you, Pat, for your donation this morning.
Thank you to all of the KHOY supporters and volunteers around here. What have you done, Ursula? What have you done for your home community of Ames? It's amazing. Thank you.
One of the things that the KHOI has been embarking on in the last year has been developing a training facility as well as a broadcast facility. Part of community radio is not just to broadcast on the air and to bring local voices to the air, but it's to be an entry point for people who are interested in audio production as an art and radio broadcasting or podcasting as an art. So we've been building a training facility. We call it the Audio Lab. And one of the ways that we've jump-started this program has been with a pilot project that we did with the Iowa State Daily this past winter, where we had a series of classes that lasted from January until just recently, I think around the middle of April or the end of April. And we had 22 students come twice a week and work with the KHOI staff here learning audio production arts. And their goal was to make a bunch of podcasts. Yeah, students working at the Iowa State Daily were interested in podcasting. We wanted to share one of those with you now. This is we've been kind of playing all these on the air a little bit at a time, and these are first works of art by new podcast producers, new people new to audio production. Some of them have been very enjoyable. But we'd like to play for you now to give you a little bit of a taste of what folks have been doing is a podcast called Kindred Ames, and this is this person, Sarah Lefeber, she plans to make this a series where she highlights different groups of people in Ames who have kind of developed kindred spirits around a particular activity, ways that people kind of group themselves in small communities within our community. And she's focused here on a dance class. And Sarah is the business operations manager at the Iowa State Daily. We had a number of the administrators of the Iowa State Daily being part of the class. Since it was a pilot project, they wanted to experience it firsthand. And this is what Sarah did. So let's take a listen to this. We wanted to share it with you. And again, this is called Kindred Ames.
On Monday, February 5th, there was a whiteout blizzard in Ames, Iowa. Schools were canceled, and the Iowa State students who did have class shook their heads every 10 steps or so to shake the piling snow from their hair. So you can imagine that driving conditions on Interstate 35 passing through town were bad. So bad that one car skidding on the snow caused a massive 70-vehicle pileup. And in the middle of it all, stuck in the chaos in the snow, was a Dancing with the Stars tour bus scheduled to perform at Stevens Auditorium that night. There were no severe injuries with the cast and the crew, but the show couldn't go on, and excited patrons from all over Iowa would show up to find a canceled notice taped to the double doors. Little did they know that just a few miles south, dancers from all over the world were performing for free, just as they do five times a week, every week. Only there's no audience, and there's no costumes, and there's definitely no pretense.
Like I always say, it's not a how-to dance class. You don't have to move exactly like me. Just do your thing.
don't look around at newbies or other people when they're in the car. I'm just trying my hardest not to fall down.
I'm Sarah LaFever, and this is Kindred Aims, stories and profiles of unique, tight-knit communities around our city. Our first feature is in the Ames Racket and Fitness Zumba and Cardio Dance classes. Today I'm interviewing Deanie Patterson, an instructor at ARFC Dance, and Charlene Felkley, one of her dancers. I should also add right now that I, too, am one of Deanie's dancers. Deanie and Charlene are citizens of the world. I'll let them speak for themselves, but to give you a picture, Deanie is an athlete, the type of woman you'd see on the literal advertisements for Zumba. She's also a foodie, whose Instagram and Facebook pics of the diverse food she finds around Ames will make you drool. I asked Deanie how she got her start in Zumba.
Oh my gosh, I was so out of shape. Okay, so I'm Asian, and people look at me, you're not big. You didn't gain weight. You look like you're okay, but I was so out of shape. My cholesterol numbers were high and I couldn't even keep up with my kids playing outside. And then it just hit me that I couldn't like keep this up. I have to do something. So I joined like a 9 weeks challenge program and finished that. Lots of tears and sweat. But when I finished that, I feel like, oh, I can move, you know, like easily. I don't have to be out of breath and I don't have to have shin splints for a long time. And I've been loving dancing forever, although I don't have like an official background. So I found Zumba at Ames Parks and Rec. I joined that and then it's just like a life-changing event for me. And then a year after that, I became a licensed instructor and been teaching ever since.
And Charlene, or Truck, as she first introduced herself to me last year, is an Iowa State transplant working for the USDA and NOAA. She's one of those people who you know is cool by just looking at them. She's worked in the Peace Corps in Africa, was a sailor in Hawaii and Alaska, and lived in American Samoa before coming to Ames. As a testament to how close the group is, you'll hear throughout the interview that Chuck and Deanie take turns asking each other questions.
So when did you start on your health regime then? How old were you?
It was like 6 or 7 years ago. Okay, it's probably the second thing that you couldn't even imagine. I hated to be sweaty. Oh my God, it's so gross.
Yeah.
So my husband challenged me to that 9 week fitness challenge, and it's just a small fitness center here in Ames, and it has kickboxing, it has not weightlifting, it's just weights, but with, you know, like resistance bands and everything, and also eat clean. They teach us how to eat clean and not necessarily a diet, but how to eat clean. Mm-hmm. I literally have shin splints for 4 weeks. I cried every time it's time to go. No, I don't want it, but I'm a person that cannot be challenged, not even by my own husband. So I was determined to finish it. I did finish. He did not. And they took like a before and after picture and measurements and stuff. My 3.1. It was good and I lost a little waistline and here and there, but overall, I felt so much better about myself.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to point out that Deanie started after 2 children.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And I started when I was 30. And that's another, I think, very diverse aspect of the community as well, is the age differences and where we all come from. And I think that adds to the flavor.
Chuck saying the class is diverse is no joke. There's women and men of all shapes, sizes, ages, races, and ethnic groups. I mean, it's the first thing I noticed when I first came to my first class, and it made me feel so safe and secure to be myself while I was dancing, knowing the class was so obviously accepting. I asked Deanie, what does she do that makes the class such a community? Iowa State and Ames Industry have brought people from all over the world to Ames, Iowa. Our dancers are from Korea, Russia, India, Mexico. Dini herself is from Indonesia. But why this dance class? Ames has tons of places to work out.
It was not this diverse before, but I think having even one person from that country, like Su Jung, she used to be a student, and then I added K-pop, and then probably she talked more to her Korean friends, and we have more Korean ladies, and who's my first Indian lady? And start Soma, and then I started adding Bollywood, and then she invited more of her friends, and so probably started that way. But I just personally like to have more flavor in my playlist. Even though Zumba is probably known as just a Latin exercise, okay, Latin songs are great, but I want more diversity. I want to add some African song and Korean and probably, hopefully, Balkan.
Oh,
cool. Yeah, flamenco.
Yeah.
Something.
I'll go and search for you. Yeah. See what I can find.
So, yeah, it's more diverse, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed on how people are just, when they're comfortable, they finally let go. But, yeah, the music, I think, probably also a crucial point, because in Zumba, you have to add more international songs. And I try to look around, who's in my class? Okay, Indian, Hispanic. Mm-hmm. Brazil, maybe we have. I still haven't done Russian or Ukrainian. It's kind of hard to find that. So, yeah, I tried to implement those international songs just to make them feel, I don't know, what am I trying? Not appreciate it, but, you know, like, hey, this song's from my country, so.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like home. I mean, yeah, it makes you feel relaxed, and, I mean, you can kind of see the women sort of like, you know, they like get jazzed up during that song,
right,
and it's something that they can do well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like that song, I can't think of it, the Indian song with the intricate hands. And every time I look at Seema, girl, the first move I have to be, you know, like, okay, just the basic, don't get too, you know, jazzy yet. But she's already getting into it, and she's like, okay.
I asked Chuck how this class compares to the others she's done all around the world.
You have done Zumba at other places in the past too, right? In your various lives throughout the world.
Yeah, you started making me think about years. When was it? 2010. 2010, I think I started Zumba. And that was in Hawaii. So I had just moved there, and I was trying to find a community of healthy people. And a lot of people in Hawaii are healthy, don't get me wrong. They all look hot. But I love the idea of dancing. I've always loved dancing, too. I mean, I'm not a choreographer like Dini by any means, but I enjoy losing myself in the music.
Is this class, community, place any different from those previous classes?
Well, I think every place and community I've been to has been different, but very similar in many ways. People show up to be happy and to dance and to be healthy. And it's usually a very diverse group of women, mostly women, some men, but mostly women. And all of them are unique in their own way as well. When I moved to American Samoa, they didn't have Zumba, but the only class they did have was Tai Bo. And even though the exercising was very different, it was still the music, it was still going to a beat, it was still a large group of people that came together to be healthy. I think dancing's a part of every culture I've been a part of in my past, whether it's in the Midwest or West Africa or the Pacific or Alaska even. Yeah, dance is a big part of every culture. You know, it's interesting. One of my favorite stories when I was in Africa for 2 years is New Year's Eve, everyone went to bed early except for the voodoo women in my village. And they were, you know, 30 years old and older, and they would stay up and dance all night. And they ran the world.
like, who run the world?
Beyonce.
The voodoo women. The voodoo women in that village.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think it was the dancing that did it. Is that weird? Is that weird?
Mm. No.
No.
It somehow brings people together and makes them comfortable and expressive and forgiving, accommodating.
And you can definitely see what type of person they are. And they're you're like, okay, yeah, I can hang out with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of like in the other class, like, okay, like grunting or do very flat expressions. Okay, I cannot reach you. Maybe I shouldn't hang out. I don't know.
No, you can't. You can't be a fake dancer. Like when you dance, it's you. Like
Yeah, it's whatever you're feeling. It comes out on your face.
Yes, exactly. You can't fake it. Maybe that's what it is. Forgetting about my day for an hour is really nice. About 5 or 10 minutes in, I forget the troubles. I forget what I have planned for the evening, the next day, what's due at work and stuff like that. And I can just enjoy the music and lose myself for a little bit. I don't think I'd be half as cool as I am if I didn't have my Zumba music.
Totally.
I stay on top of the music now. Awesome. I watch the videos. I'm a Justin Timberlake fan.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like I used to know the hip songs from like going to the club and now I do keep going to Zumba. What's your favorite song that we've done?
Sugar by...
Oh, yeah, Robin Schultz.
That's,
with that YouTube video of the cop.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You sent me that language. He's like, oh, I see.
I just had a really good beat to it. I don't know what it is. It's Sate.
How do you come up with the dances?
I don't know. Since high school, I was this captain in the dance group in high school, and I love to choreograph. I love watching video, you know, like the music videos from artists from the 80s, like Janet Jackson, Paula Abdul. And it's just, I like making something out of that music. And it's just, it's following me. And it's just, even when I listen to a song in the car, it's just like, okay, yep, move here, move there. It's just like every time, it never fails. It's just, okay, you cannot choreograph every song you hear. Come on now. It just comes naturally. It's fun.
Yeah, that's a gift.
It's funny though, you would probably dance right out the door. I'd follow you.
I'm Sarah Lefebvre, and this has been your first episode of Kindred Ames. Tune in next time as I profile another tight-knit community around Ames. And remember, who run the world? People who are confident enough to dance.
Stealing by Matt Woods, and Matt from his CD Sawdust and Gasoline. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI. I'm Ursula Rudenberg. I'm here in the studio with Pat Schlarbaum and Kobe Gaines and Cynthia McClure. And we are all part of KHOI, as are you.
Yeah, it ain't stealing if you give it away, and we provide airtime for volunteers and people around the community.
Who all give it away.
We give ourselves. But we got to have sustainability somewhere along the way.
So we're asking you to donate, even though we give it away, right?
Well, we give a lot away, but we still got to pay the light bill and the
That's
rent. And, you know, there is an infrastructure here. As there is everywhere.
To the tune of about $8,500 a month.
Yeah, so let's really consider becoming a member at $55 with our basic membership. And you can either stop in here at 410 Douglas or go to the website, khoifm.org, and find that donate button. It's really crucial. This is the spring of the year. We need to get, like, planting seeds. If you could consider supporting this station, but I really want to bring up again the $250 sustainability that is so important. And this station is growing, and there has been a lot given away, but we ain't stealing. We're contributing. It's a, you know, it's strengthening community through communication. So, yeah. And these Pantorium sessions that Greta Anderson and Ron Carson are putting together, that's how we're introduced to people like Matt Wood.
Matt performed at one of these concerts. And if you donate to KHOI, give us a call to donate at 515-292-2878. We will give you one of these CDs. Matt provided a bunch of CDs to give to donors who call in. But you have to call in because otherwise we don't know when you donated. Give us a call at 515-292-2878. Or better yet, just stop on in the Pantorium. And Pat's got a thermos of coffee. And Pat, you'd give them a cup of coffee,
absolutely,
would you?
Yeah, come on down.
So you can't beat that. You get community radio, you get Matt Woods, and you get a cup of coffee. Yeah.
Can't beat free cup of coffee.
All
can't
for
beat
$55.
Yeah, this guy, Matt Woods, he's a rare Central Iowa resource. Also, we want to thank you, a big thank you to Pat Brown, State Farm Insurance Agent, for sponsoring KHOI. And for more information concerning Pat Brown and State Farm Insurance, go to the website, patbrownagency.net.
So
thank you, Mr. Brown.
Pat, Mrs. Brown.
Oh, Mrs.
That's Doug Brown.
Mrs. Brown.
Doug Brown's former wife.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of my insurance
agent.
And
she ain't stealing. Pat Brown ain't stealing.
No, the Brown family does not steal from the Ames community. They're, you know, not someone who contributed so much to the airways as Doug Brown
has
and continues. I mean, the guy's immortal.
Right. And she's a former city council member.
Uh-huh.
Pat Brown ain't stealing. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah.
And follow Pat's lead and be a sponsor or a donor to KHOI, khoifm.org. We're kind of on the last legs of our fund drive, and we'd really like to end this spring fund drive with our heads held high and the community's head held high that we do have community radio in Central Iowa. So just one more time, that's khoifm.org to donate online. It's easy, it's secure. Or just come down to the station. And thank you to everybody who came yesterday to our Radio Days event. And we got some very generous donations during that event, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great entertainment. Fibber McGee and Molly, you know, name that I grew up with. I don't think I'd ever heard a production to that extent, you know, the complete show.
And we had Paul Wearson reminiscing about the good old days of radio.
Yeah, Paul Wearson.
And when he was on the radio when President Kennedy was killed.
Yeah, in Decorah, Iowa. Yeah.
And then we had the future represented too, Kobe Gaines, who's here with us now, and his partner made a presentation. And Kobe, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your very esteemed partner?
Yep. All right. Well, I am a sophomore right now in the School of Journalism. It's my major and a minor in speech and sociology. Me and Les have been working together for a while. We work on the KURE studios, the student-ran radio station for Iowa State. So we kind of just build it from there. Les came to Iowa State this year. And then me and him had a connection with sports and just talking from the start.
Tell us a little bit about who Les is. Give us his last name.
Lester. It's Lester Mauritia. Uh-huh. He is from Kenya. He came over. He's a dad, 25 years old. Just amazing, amazing, amazing dude. One of my good friends, in a matter of short time, can really just vibe and talk to him really about anything. And we came here doing the audio lab from the start. That's what drew me in to become an intern here. And Les wanted to be a part of the KHOI family, too, after being a part of that with the Daily and KHOI. And just using the studios here, we just started to start making podcasts just weekly. That's the one you guys are going to listen to next. It's a little bit about the First Amendment. I mean, being a journalist, the First Amendment is huge. It's amazing. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to, you know, speak freely and speak about, you know, what's happening around the world. Just all praise to the First Amendment and to KHOI for letting us be a part of this.
Okay, let's take a listen to you and Les talking about that.
Hello, wherever you are and however you are listening. Welcome back to the Double Team Podcast. I'm Les Mauricio alongside my main man, Kobe Gain. Kobe, what it do?
What it do? Happy First Amendment Day.
It is First Amendment. The Congress First Amendment was signed in 1789, and it's first, again, it's First Amendment week here at Iowa State. And so we just want to take a second to read this off to you, and we'll kind of go back and forth to what the First Amendment really means to us. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment or religion or prohibiting the free exercise, therefore, or abridging the freedom of speech. So that being said, Kobe Gaines, as a journalist here in the department, the Greenlee School, journalists all over the nation, you know, this is something that's imperative in our field of work.
Definitely.
You know, and, you know, the ability, this law to understand, the ability to understand this law and how it affects us, I think it can only make us better journalists.
Definitely.
It makes us, you know, it allows us, it shows us our boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just something great to have. And there's so much activity going on campus. Kobe and I are going to a lecture after we get done here in the studio. So, Kobe, real quick, just touch up on what the First Amendment means to you, my man.
To me, it's a special amendment to journalists and also to, you know, religion. Freedom of speech is a huge thing with this world. And it seems like every time someone says something, there's always someone that trying to counteract it and go against the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. But being a press journalist, there's so much that we have and so much that we can do with this First Amendment. We can say so much about, you know, a political figure, a sports figure, mm-hmm. which we do, and so much others, that it really makes it special to live in America and be, you know, land of the free and home of the brave.
Yeah, absolutely agree, Kobe. Well said. To me, Kobe kind of touched upon it a little earlier. Again, it's just another way to express our freedom. And and we were talking about it. Shout out to our professor, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
He was giving us a little nugget on just a smaller lecture on kind of what the First Amendment allows and doesn't allow, and kind of gave us some different scenarios. We went over some different case studies in class earlier. But to me, Kobe, it's just, you know, other countries don't have amendments like this, you know, and so they can't really say what they want about a political figure.
They can't speak their mind.
Yeah, they can't say what they want about a sports figure, and plain and simple, they can't speak their mind. And in some countries, that's the difference between life and death. You know, you say the wrong thing, and you know,
it could be the end.
That could be the end. So that being said, you know, me planning on being an American citizen. I'm not an American citizen yet, but I will be. I think it's imperative, and it really is special to be able to express myself and express ourselves freely like we do in this podcast.
No, I definitely agree. I mean, speaking your mind it's something that we were, you know, given, and I'm so thankful for that, because other countries, like we said, they face so much hardship and so much, you know, discomfort with, you know, wanting to speak their mind, but they just can't. They can't go out there and say what they want about a political figure without, you know, that the government coming after them and hunting not just them down, but their family down. So this week, everyone, you know, just take advantage of what we have as Americans.
Yeah.
What makes us different, and why, you know, this country is so, you know, so special.
Okay, and this is Local Talk. Speaking of First Amendment, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm here. I'm Ursula Rudenberg here in the studio with a bunch of fine folks. Cynthia McClure is engineering. Patch Larbaum's here. And Kobe Gaines is here, who you just heard on the air as well, talking about the First Amendment with his partner, Lester.
Mauritia.
Mauritia. One of these days I'm going to get that. It's not hard to do. Yeah. You just get a little freaked out by it.
Yeah, just being around him so much, everyone asks him. So I'm like, all right, I got you.
Yeah, Mauritia. Yeah. And Lester, as he mentions in the little recording we just played, that he's planning to become an American citizen. He's actually a citizen of Kenya, although you wouldn't tell it from hearing him talk. Mm-hmm. He sounds like an American because he's been here for quite a while, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is a student at Iowa State University, along with Kobe here. They're planning to do a sports show for KHOI, which is going to start this month, I think.
Yep, this month, yeah.
And it's going to be every other Thursday morning.
At 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock.
Yep. Yeah, it's called the warm-up. You know, you got to get the crust out your eyes, you know, when you're driving to work or waking up. You know, just turn this on and, you know, warm up your day a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. That's a good first message during the day. We've been trying for almost 5 years to get a sports show on KHOI and have never succeeded yet. It's always fallen through. So, Kobe, you better come through here. Yeah. You know,
got a lot of pressure on me. Got to be like Michael Jordan in Game 6. We'll be good.
You're our last hope, but I think you and Les can do it. You have a lot of enthusiasm. And you were talking there about the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. The other thing about the First Amendment is that it is a permission and actually encouragement to protest. It does say that in the First Amendment that if you don't like what the government is doing, it is your job to object.
Yeah.
And so it was a message from our founding fathers to be vigilant, not only as media, but also as American citizens, to speak up when we felt democracy was, you know, going off the rails. So it's an extremely interesting,
it's powerful
part of the Constitution. Yeah. Very, very powerful. And really, you know, the point you were making is very profound, maybe a little bit beyond what it always looks like on the surface, because we as Americans are so accustomed to having the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. And when I went to a community radio conference in Argentina about 4 years ago, and I talked to the international community radio world, it was really an eye-opener because most of the world does not have the First Amendment.
That's
and
tough.
People are literally putting their lives on the line to have media and have the ability to speak. And it's also very interesting. My father is a survivor of the Holocaust. And so he was a German Jew. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Germany under Hitler, and he got into Switzerland. He was a refugee. And I asked him what it would be like to be raised in a totalitarian regime and then be in a democracy like Switzerland, like what's the difference, you know, because I don't really know. And so I said, so how could you tell that you were now in a democracy? And he didn't even think twice. He said, oh, that's easy. People could talk about things. So he said, you know, in Germany, people thought things. Mm-hmm. You know, people aren't stupid. People know what's going on. But they weren't able to talk about it.
Yeah, won't be able to say anything. Yeah.
But in a democracy, you could. And I said, there it is. That's the First Amendment. That's the justification. And by the way, that's just the justification for having community radio, right?
Well, it is. Be eternally vigilant. Speak your mind. But no whining.
No whining.
There's no whining.
Oh, we
at
never
K-H-O-I.
Whine.
No whining.
But
we are
whining a little bit right now because we need money, folks. We need money. We need you to be a supporter of KHOI. So please consider donating to your community radio station. The website is khoifm.org, khoifm.org.
Find the donate button.
Find the donate button.
Big, bright yellow, like sunny sunshine.
Stands for gold. And you can bring your gold in, too. You can bring your gold in and walk right in here and put it down in front of Cynthia, and she'll know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of gold, let's go out with the Sandhill Cranes. It is spring, and Pat, you have a mini documentary about the Sandhill Cranes, who are quite spectacular.
And Cindy Hildebrand and Roger Maddox, just southeast of town, have a wetland, and they have had two Sandhill Cranes.
That's amazing.
And I just learned last evening from Irv Kloss that something's happened to one of them. There's only one.
Oh, no.
And Irv was saying, that bird's probably nesting. Now, this would be the first sandhill cranes nesting in Story County for 150 years.
Wow.
This is really big, folks.
The first time I heard sandhill cranes was in Wisconsin, Viroqua, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I heard one early in the morning, and it sounded like a machine was breaking down.
Yeah, well, so it's primordial.
Let's take a listen.
Phenology is recording nature's happenings when they occur, and spring is always a big time of year for nature. Recently, a steady spring rain was collecting strength as a birding friend was checking prairie potholes for shorebird activity. Serenely, he sighted a group of large birds flying in a rather tight formation. They were steel gray birds against a gray western sky. And he reported, "It was a squadron of great blue herons, I think, but I've never seen seven in a flock." So I asked him, were their necks coiled or extended? And he replied, "Their necks were straight out and their legs were like the tail on a kite. And when they landed, they began leaping like they were on pogo sticks," which sounded like sandhill cranes, just a great bird to see returning to Iowa marshes. "And I guess when they land, they do leap about like they're on pogo sticks. In flight, great blue herons typically coil their S-curved necks against their breast. Conversely, the sandhill cranes extend both legs and their necks. Herons are generally solitary, while cranes often travel in pairs or in groups. Cranes also provide an animated display of leaping and calling in their courtship antics, presenting and tossing cattails or, in Iowa, cornstalks, all the while flapping their six-foot wingspan and creating a rousing ruckus throughout Iowa marshes. These marsh dancers provide a fascinating show." After a 98-year absence, sandhill cranes once again began nesting in Iowa at Otter Creek Marsh on the Iowa River just east of Tama in 1992. Since that time, cranes have nested in 22 counties that include the Chautauqua Wildlife Area in northeast Polk County and at Anderson Lake in Hamilton County, just to our north. Pioneering pairs nesting in Iowa are spilling over from the Wisconsin crane population. Our cranes are greater sandhill cranes, which are slightly different than the lesser sandhill cranes that gather by the hundreds of thousands near Kearney, Nebraska, each year. As spring warms the marsh where cranes belong, a joyous cacophony of an awakening multitude of toads and frogs creates quite a stir, which is background music for the big dance of sandhill cranes. Accompanying other courtship calls in our wetland community like yellow-headed and red-winged blackbirds, marsh wrens, American bitterns, and trumpeter swans, the sandhill cranes stand out. In the misty pre-dawn light, they perform elaborate mating dances among the marsh marigolds, leaping into the air and waving their feathery wings. Throughout the revelry, cranes are constantly bugling, which can be heard a half mile away. So join the fun and leap on down to your favorite marsh at Chautauqua or Otter Creek Marsh to enjoy nature's orchestrations and dazzling courtship dances. Hopefully you'll be serenaded by primal calling that harkens an era when thousands of wetlands pocketed the plains. The presence of sandhill cranes, trumpeter swans, Canada geese, and a myriad of wetland waterfowl and wildlife have become welcome additions to Iowa's landscape. They enhance our spirits with hope, and they elevate the quality of all our lives. The marsh dancers are worth it. Try to share the experience with children and friends sometime soon. And that's our Focus on Phenology for today.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I am Cynthia McClure. Your host today was Ursula Rutenberg, Kobe Gaines, and Pat Schlarbaum, Sarah Lefebvre, and Lester Mauricia were also heard from today in their podcast. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, 7 p.m. here at KHOI FM. KHOI 89.1 FM. Also, remember, you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin'. And Backtracking is by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Let's see. We also heard from Matt Woods and his song, It Ain't Stealing, which seemed to be a very nice take on everybody's... they were being very humorous about it. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to try your hand at being a reporter, we will train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Stay tuned for Headline News and Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHY meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
And this is KHOI Story City Ames.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. That's workinames.com.